You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Already Friday.
What?
I know.
Oh, my goodness.
Thanksgiving is going to be here in just a couple weeks.
And then it's going to be Christmas. And
yes.
Then it's going to be, then this time next year, we're going to be like, Thanksgiving's coming up very soon.
Right. So it's Friday, so Dan Schaefer will be here, Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area.
You know, on the Recombobulation Area right now, Jane, you can find a wonderful story written by our very own Dan Schaefer, where he talks to our very own Jane Matinier about your illustrious 40. I'm calling it 45 because 45 just sounds better. Just
do you want to round up?
Yeah, I'm going to include school in there.
Thanks.
45 years in radio and what you've seen, what you've been through, how you have persevered, and how, as you've put it many times, you're retiring on top, in my opinion, with, I mean, the best show ever.
And the best co-host and producer by far.
But I will have that story in the show notes, and you can find it also by going to the Recombobulation Area. You can find it by going to Civic Media. Follow us. Go on all the websites. Check us out. Put us in your life, civicmedia.us. But it's a wonderful story. We've been getting compliments from in and outside of the organization.
Dan did a really, really nice job.
Well, he had a great subject with which to have a conversation.
Oh, stop. Stop.
Yeah. Compliments. Yeah.
So Dan's going to be here to recombobulate many, many things. We're going to talk about sports betting, the proposal now. That's what could go wrong. The raid in Chicago. We mentioned this very briefly yesterday. They used a Black Hawk helicopter in Chicago to rappel down and bash in people's doors. And there have been no charges after that. It was full of Trente Duagua gang members, Greg.
Yeah, some of them as young as 3 years old.
Yeah, and no charges have been filed about that.
None.
We're also going to talk about the new hemp laws that we discussed yesterday with Aaron Kelly from Kelly's Greens in Wauwatosa. If you use CBD products, gummies, cupcakes, all that stuff, seltzers like I do, they have a year.
Well, it hasn't been signed yet, in my opinion, if I'm saying it correct. It is not done as of this moment, if I'm correct. I don't believe he has signed it yet, but will he?
Probably. Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
And they will have a year. And now there is a measure from a lawmaker from Hubertus, I should say, to kind of codify the language on a statewide basis. And it will put lots of people out of business, lose jobs, and people who rely upon this will have to go to other states. So we'll talk more about this.
Let's go back to pharmaceuticals. That's how it works so well.
What's wrong with Percocet, baby?
For audio sorbet today after the 10:30 news, where we get away from the news and talk about other things.
Yes, I'd love to do that.
Today for sorbet, we're going to talk about bye-bye, Penny.
I guess a nickel for your thought. All the prices are going up. Groceries, gas, my thought prices are going up. It used to be 2 cents. Now I got to pay five to get.
Now it's a nickel for your thoughts.
Thanks, Biden.
No more pennies. They're not making pennies anymore. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's This Bud's for You.
Yeah.
Edition. If you like. That's all coming up a little bit later on. Wanted to start off with this news this morning from Wisconsin Public Radio. The headline, Joe Schultz with the byline, "Our hearts ache, Oshkosh defense to lay off 160 workers. Local UAW president says the Oshkosh Corporation must stop forgetting about your workers here at home." This was just announced. They will lay off about 160 workers early next year. They say the layoffs are a response to overstaffing in certain production areas. But this is part of a larger thing that I think a lot of economists are keeping an eye on, are job losses. And from Forbes magazine, job losses mounted in October as employers struggled And Wall Street projects grim job market. Yeah, we've lost already a million jobs this year.
Yeah.
This year.
And look, I understand free markets and I understand business is business. I understand that things need to be done. But really, you know, this is a company, this is an Oshkosh, like, this is a big company that employed a lot of people. And they did defense contracts. They have business with the government. And call me naive or whatever you want to call me. People have called me worse or better. But where was Senator Ron Johnson
defending this? All these? Yeah, looking defending out for this company?
Defending this jobs, defending the company, defending a U.S. military partner. Where was he?
He was on Maria Bartiromo's show. He's got priorities, Greg.
I did not hear the first line where it says because of overstaffing, and I get that. But 160 jobs is a lot, and I just want to know personally, like, where are our leaders here in the state? I mean, I'm not going to, honestly, I'd say Tammy Baldwin, but Tammy Baldwin is always working for everybody all the time. She's probably making a phone call right now trying to get someone funding or a job, but it's just, it's getting very dark here for people who are needing to find jobs. Or the jobs report from last month was not good. It was one of the worst. The revised job numbers are always looking terrible. And we have an administration and people who support this administration. People are lawmakers in Madison who say, it's great. We're fine.
Things have never been better. Prices are down, you guys.
Yeah.
Everything's down.
And then on top of that, and we just mentioned it before, and we'll talk about it further with Dan, you know, if we make hemp completely illegal, that's another just bunch of businesses and jobs that are gone.
We have those outlets all over the state.
All over the state. And we're going to hand that money over to Minnesota, Michigan, Iowa.
Iowa, you guys, Iowa.
But so, yeah, it's just really frustrating. And that also brings up the topic that you wanted to talk about, which is, okay, what about people who want to come here and find jobs? That's just as tough now. Yeah.
Well, again, as we are dealing with about a million job losses already this year, President Trump had a sit down, a one-on-one with one of his favorite people, Laura Ingraham from Fox.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about her.
Yeah. They were talking about the HB1 visa program. Now, if you remember, of course, Donald Trump's whole platform is America First, America for Americans. Mm-hmm. Good American jobs for Americans, except when it comes to people with talent, apparently. Calvin, let's play this clip, please, from Donald Trump talking to Laura Ingraham about the HB1 visa program.
Does that mean the H-1B visa thing will not be a big priority for your administration? Because if you want to raise wages for American workers, you can't flood the country with tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands
of foreign
workers.
Well, I agree, but you also do have to bring in talent.
We have plenty of talented people here.
No, you don't.
We don't have talented people here.
No, you don't have certain talents, and people have to learn.
Okay, so really quick, I just want to, because the H-1B visa is said a lot, and I think there's some, you know,
some confusion and over what that is.
Yeah, and I wanted to just read the actual definition. It's a temporary work visa for U.S. employers to hire foreign professionals in specialized occupations which require a bachelor's degree or higher. These are specialized workers. They are sought after, or maybe they're bringing someone in from the London office or the Dubai office into America. These are specialized visas made for that. And at the time, before the Trump administration took over again, they weren't easy to get, but they were easier to get because it was sought as bringing people in to do good work here in the country, to do great.
To fill in gaps.
Add to the economy, all of the things that make an America great again. But now they're making it even harder. But the president doesn't think we have talent here. Thought we were the best.
Kevin Lynn, the executive director for the Institute for Sound Public Policy, says the number of foreign experts who come here to train U.S. workers is small. They usually arrive on L1 or B1 visas, which can also be misused for cheap labor, like we saw with Hyundai and Infos. The H-1B, mainly an outsourcing and American worker displacement visa, used for white collar jobs. Trump keeps missing this distinction. Again, this from Kevin Lin, the founder of U.S. Tech Workers. He says this is bad messaging on an issue that is highly sensitive with his base and U.S. workers facing a weak job market in those sectors. Yeah, MAGA is very angry about this.
Well, they also changed it that there's a $100,000 fee to get the H-1B visa.
Well, there are some exceptions, though.
How so, Jane?
I believe if you made a donation to Donald Trump in some way, shape, or form, you might get an exception for your business.
Oh, you can also get an
exception. I'm guessing.
I've also heard if you make donations to the MAGA party, you can get exemptions from tariffs, Apple. It comes with all sorts of perks when you give to the Trump administration.
It
directly.
Does.
You can fund our military.
You can get pardons. You can get moved to a special prison. There's all kinds of perks if you make donations.
It's really just a matter now of we're ending the first year of this second term for Donald Trump. And I ask his supporters who may be listening to us right now, do you need to text it? Call 855-752-4842 or 855-75-CIVIC. Text it in. Leave a voice note. Tell us how any of these things we've been talking about for the past year have tangible, certifiable results of the good, whether it's, you know, he loves to talk about lots of money from tariffs. He's going to fund a lot of things from the tariff money, by the way, whether it's the farmers or it's a $2,000 tax credit or money for health insurance.
But don't forget, we're going to reverse some of those tariffs to help bring grocery prices down on things we don't grow here. So apparently consumers do pay tariffs.
Yeah. And I feel like... I don't say this often. I feel bad for Scott Bessent because I feel like he's the official sword fall uponer on that one because he's the one who's been talking about that point specifically and been hit by the major media market saying, so it is a tax on us.
On consumers.
Yeah. So it's this is not creating a better country. And if you believe that this 1 to 2 years of pain is something necessary, 2 years of pain, that's what Elon Musk said. What is going to be the outcome? What is going to make this country, like, what are we going to look like by 2028? By the time we should have another election, maybe, for president. I mean, reading all these stories, and then we have these leaders in Washington saying, well, everything is great.
And if it's not, it's Biden's fault.
Yeah.
But everything under Trump is great.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect, actually.
Yeah. I just truly don't know where we're going to be at this time next year. And I don't want to be a downer. And if I'm sounding like a downer, I apologize. Myvote.wi.gov. You want to talk to your representatives. You can call the president. You can call the White House if you'd like. They'll pick up their gold phone. Ask them questions. Tell them how you're feeling. Tell them if they're doing a good job, a bad job. But honestly, ask them why these policies are going to make us better and how have they made us better so far, and demand. And if you get an answer, if you get someone to answer,
let us know,
demand proof. I want data. I want a story that says, hey, this thing created this thing because of Donald Trump. And if that's the case, cool beans.
We'll celebrate that.
I'm on board. I want us to win.
We would love to be able to celebrate some things.
Yeah.
When we return, DEI is bad.
Terrible.
Except
why?
Except.
You'll have to find out.
Yeah, stay close. All the details on the way. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Good morning, live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 9:30 news, Civic Media's political editor, creator of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, is going to join us to kick around many, many things, including the little hemp legislation that got snuck into the bill to reopen the government. I still don't understand why people don't have to claim when they wrote those things slipped them in, like our Ron Johnson being able to sue for $500,000. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked.
We were also told it was a clean CR.
Yeah, not so much.
Yeah.
But yes, Dan Schaefer will be joining us very, very shortly. Stick around for that. DEI is bad.
DEI, Jane, is terrible.
It's terrible. It's awful. No one should get any special breaks because of their sex or their gender or a disability or anything
their color
like that.
Or their skin. Color.
No, ooh. No special breaks for anybody except...
Yeah.
Well, when you belong to the president's family.
Yeah, when you come from that gene pool, which...
Then there's all kinds of exceptions.
Jane, we're calling them opportunities.
Oh, it was an opportunity.
It's an opportunity.
Donald Trump's granddaughter, Kai Trump.
God, that's a name.
One of Don Jr.'s kids. this is from the Daily Beast. Lee Kimmins has the byline. Kai Trump bombs into last place in nightmare pro golf debut. The president's granddaughter got into the tournament on a sponsor's invitation. Kai Trump is a senior in high school, reportedly a relatively accomplished golfer.
Or not.
And I don't golf. And I don't live in that world. It's my understanding, though, for tournaments, you're invited. And you have to be of a certain caliber in order to compete in some of these tournaments.
Yeah, you have to be ranked. You have to be, you know.
Yeah, Kai Trump isn't even ranked in the top 450 juniors in the country. Not in the top 450. Not.
Not. She's 19. She's 18.
She's 18.
She's 18 years old. Yeah, I have to imagine that must have been a fun weekend for people to have to walk around and tell her how great she's doing. Because honestly, there are probably sponsors and or higher-ups from that tournament telling individuals, you got to keep it cool. You cannot speak poorly. You cannot.
Don't throw any shade.
Don't throw shade anyone because it'll get bad. I mean, that is the problem. This young lady, I don't know her from Adam, but I asked you the question before we went on the air. Is there a single Trump who excels?
On their own,
of their own volition, of their own merit, on their own ability? Are there any of them that actually do excel? Because it feels like every time we talk about a Trump in the Trumpiverse, it's always a grift. It's always a handout. This is DEI to the hilt.
Kai Trump did not earn her way into the tournament. She was handed a sponsor exemption, a discretionary invitation that goes around competitive qualifying. So, yeah, she didn't have to qualify for it. She didn't have to earn her way into it. This one came courtesy of Gainbridge, the event's title sponsor and a financial services brand owned by Dan Doyle, who owns Pelican Golf Club. He is the one who put in the exemption, saying Kai Trump's social media reach will bring a lot of viewers to the event. So she's going to bring us lots of attention. So even though she's not qualified, we'll let her in. And she's also the president's granddaughter. You better let her in.
You better let her in, because if you don't, honestly, that's how it works. There will be punishment. There will be retribution. You will become the news story, even though all you're trying to do is golf. And hey, man, live your life. My mom watches golf, loves Scottie Scheffler. But it's just a matter of that's how this operates now. We see colleges paying them off to leave them alone. News networks paying them off and or firing people to leave them alone. Hiring people to invoke their practices to keep the Trump administration off their back. And those are all real examples. Jimmy Kimmel, Columbia University, CBS, they've all capitulated. People capitulate because if you don't, he whines. It becomes a 24-hour news story. And then that consumes the fact that we haven't released the Epstein files. They are normalizing the legacy of Jeffrey Epstein. And they are taking our money away and giving it to billionaires. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Many. And by the way, really quick, Tom Tiffany tweeted out a week ago about DEI, and he said that we will get rid of race-based hirings. And I just want to put this out here. If you believe when you think DEI, the first thing you think of is race-based hiring, you don't know what DEI is, and you also probably kind of racist, because that's not what DEI is.
Well, again, it's DEI is bad, 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 except when there's a Trump involved.
Yeah.
Then it's a special exemption.
Mm-hmm.
It's a special exemption. exemption.
Yeah, it's
Ronnie from Horicon texting in, listening on WAUK, says, well, hey, Lara can sing.
Boom!
Thank you, Ronnie, for wrapping that up with a laugh.
Oh, my gosh. It's just, I don't know. Maybe his niece, Mary, the niece who wrote the book.
She's
not a grifter.
No, she actually earned it. She went to college and she earned her degree, and she's a psychologist, isn't she?
She is a very strong woman to be part of that. Yeah, but
she's made her own way.
Again, let us know how it's not DEI. Let us know how America's great again. I really would like to know. I want a list of things and with details and data. Tell us how we are better than we were 1 year ago today.
News is coming up next, and when we return, we'll start recombobulating with Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on a live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every Friday. He is the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area, also Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer, in studio with us. Good morning.
I'm here. I'm ready to recombobulate after a discombobulating week.
No doubt about
it. Oh my gosh. Yeah, so much news. So much news all the time.
There haven't been any non-discombobulating weeks.
Can we just have one chill
week?
Wouldn't
that be nice?
Ever.
Nothing happens.
Where nothing happens.
Chill, man.
Yeah. Just give us a week to catch up and recombobulate ourselves.
A week of audio sorbets.
Oh my
gosh.
Yeah.
All audio sorbet all the time.
Yeah. That's not where we are.
Yeah. Unfortunately not.
No. We have a lot of stuff to cover, but
let's start with
the proposal now. Jill Underly finally came out after this incredible reporting in the Cap Times about this very disturbing habit, it seems, of the Department of Public Instruction doing what they can to shield from the public, at least, the names of teachers who have been accused of grooming or potentially sexual assault.
Mm-hmm. So there was this, as you said, well-reported investigative piece from the Cap Times that was a year in the making. I believe there are multiple parts of this and all of that, but it is, you know, we've talked about this over the last few weeks on the show, right? So like when it initially came up, we talked about how this was a big deal when we needed to respond to this. We followed that up when there was an assembly committee hearing where Dr. Jill Underly, the head of the Department of Public Instruction, was invited to attend this meeting and speak and answer questions about what was in that reporting. And she had a personal conflict and did not attend. And
prior commitment.
We were very critical of that decision. But she did eventually show up, and she did eventually answer questions from folks in the assembly. She has proposed a series of kind of internal reforms at the Department of Public Instruction, creating some more transparency about these, you know, how the department investigates these cases of grooming or sexual misconduct or whatever it might be. I think this is good.
Not bad.
And it was starting to look like this situation that, you know, good investigative reporting should lead to, where people take it seriously in our government and hold a legislative hearing and people in charge of these agencies answer questions and recognize that things aren't maybe working as well as they should be and propose reforms. And things were heading in the right direction. And there was actually even a bill that was getting some bipartisan support going through the legislature to really make some definitions on what grooming is and how that can be a crime.
And give these things some teeth.
Yeah. And give these things some teeth. And so I think that kind of was unfolding in the way we would want it to, right?
I just want to add something really quick in that timeline. I would like to point out the absolute and deafening silence from the Democrats until we found out about the hearing, Jill Underly not being able to show up, and then the reforms. But there was nothing coming out from anybody. Tony Evers even did a shrug like, I hadn't heard about certain things.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I'm sorry.
That was
joining a league of lesser politicians when you say things like that. And the Republicans made no waste of time jumping on all of it, including the lack of message, response, or anything. So that's a big, for me personally, that's a big part of this whole story, is that the Democrats stood back and go, if we say nothing, then nothing will happen. Well, that's what got you in the place here to begin with. So
It's just the head in the sand Bidenism that has infected the entire party, I think, in a lot of ways. And I was frustrated seeing the governor's comment on that. But again, minor frustrations aside,
things
were starting to progress in the right direction.
Yes.
I would say until, I believe it was Monday, or maybe Tuesday. Tuesday. So state representative, and I apologize if I get the pronunciation of this name incorrect, Piwowarczyk. Okay, there you go.
Piwowarczyk. I had to learn that yesterday.
Okay. So he is a state representative in one of the reddest districts in the state in northern Waukesha County. He is also the co-editor, I believe, of the conservative publication Wisconsin Right Now. And he had a Facebook post up saying, and I'll just quote it directly here. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction, which employs more than 600, is consistently proven to be a complete failure. Here's my DPI plan. One, pass the bill authored by Representative Nedweski criminalizing grooming. Two, direct schools and school boards to request their local law enforcement investigate cases of sexual misconduct and grooming by teachers. I believe that's already happening. Three, turn over teacher licensing to the Department of Safety and Professional Services. And four, and this is the real problem here, eliminate the Department of Public Instruction.
There it is.
Well, that's been the goal.
He should have led with that the entire time.
Well, yes, because that ultimately is the goal of the Republicans. In my estimation, they want to kill public education as soon as possible.
I mean, we're seeing it at the federal level, trying to get rid of the Department of Education.
Yes.
And eliminating the Department of Public Instruction, I think this really scuttles the whole thing, because this makes it a hyper politicized version of what should just be an honest investigation. And now I think there was, some liberal skepticism about this reporting, about the investigation of it, saying, oh, this is a sideshow. This is just a way to attack public education, which I kind of don't really agree with, because this was good reporting and whatever. But if Republicans are making the leap from let's respond to this by, setting some standards around grooming, investigating what's happening at the department, asking for changes, if they are going to make the leap to eliminating the entire department, it is going to undercut the validity of that entire argument. And I think this is what's happening here with this proposal from this state representative and co-editor of one of the more prominent conservative publications in the state. I think Republicans should be furious with this representative, because it is scuttling what is an honest thing. And I think Republicans are seeing a way that they can have an edge, on kind of education as an issue going into the midterms, going into the governor's race and whatever. I think Democrats should be jumping all over this. I think Republicans should be furious with this state representative. I think this undercuts Republicans' entire argument that this is about grooming, that this is about the reporting from the Cap Times, because they're just putting it as a means to an end of what they were always wanting to do and attack public education.
And kill public schools.
If you're just joining us right now on Matt and Air on Air, we are talking to political editor for Civic Media and founder of the Recombobulationary, Mr. Dan Schaefer. And we are discussing the ongoing episode of the DPI and the story that came out of the Cap Times a few weeks ago, which uncovered, I hesitate to call it a scandal or a cover up, just because I don't know what those titles mean in far as reporting goes. But the fact that many, many hundreds of reports of grooming and possible sexual assault were kept from the public because there was no real plan on how to investigate these problems, as we were seeing in the story. And now, Jim Piwowarczyk, who is a representative of, I believe, the 29th district, which is Hubertus, remember, learned this yesterday, he wants to collapse the DPI. And I think the thing for me is that, you're right. Those first few lines, yes, these are measured, logical pushes forward to getting a better Department of Public Instruction. But that last one just magnetizes it. It allows people from outside the state to latch on to say, we're getting rid of the Department of Education here, and in Wisconsin, they're doing the same thing. Thanks, sir. We appreciate your work. And it's also one of those things where you say, get rid of it. Okay, then what in its place?
Right.
Well, that's not for me to say. I just want to get rid of it. Well, what's your plan? I don't need a plan. I just want to get. And the thing is, if you do the last, you really can't do the first ones anyways because
there's no reporting agency.
And as a side note, I just want to say this, and we touched on this earlier. Fine, you want to define grooming? You want to protect our children? I'm all for it. I want our children to be protected.
Yeah.
We are living in a country right now where a man who is dead is being rechristened as a saint as not as bad because of what he did to children. So and I said this yesterday about the hemp thing, which we'll get to, but Mr. Pivovarchuk, which if you're listening, I hope you are this adamant about protecting our children about the Epstein files as you are about our school and possibly being groomed. If you're not, then these are false measures to me. Don't really care.
See, I think the fourth point is the saying the quiet part out loud.
Yes. Exactly.
That's all that it is. This has been their goal for a very, very, very long time. It's in Project 2025, mm-hmm. Killing public education. Why do you think we're funding two separate school systems right now with taxpayer money going to voucher schools? Mm-hmm. This is paving the way. This is setting the table to get rid of all public schools, in my mm-hmm. estimation.
And so he's taken legitimate and legitimate mm-hmm. investigation, legitimate reforms, legitimate progress, bipartisan support for a bill making meaningful change that is going to help keep students safe, but he is using it as a Trojan horse to attack public education.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And that to me is preposterously absurd. And I think Republicans should be furious with him. I think Democrats should be talking about this all the time. And I think that, you know, and I've even seen, like, I got into it with Wisconsin Right Now a little bit on Twitter this
week.
Me? Never. Arguing with Republicans on social media? Me? Never.
Never have.
But got a little bit in the back and forth with this. There were a couple of people saying, yeah, we should eliminate the Department of Public Instruction. You make that your platform for next year, Democrats are winning a trifecta.
Yeah.
Why do you think, though, I think Republicans aren't furious about this because they agree with this?
Well, and that's that. I think that is the tell. I think the fact that they are not coming out and saying
this is a terrible idea,
get this out of here, we don't want to do this, is telling to me that they are not opposed to this. That they would be on board with this types of attacks to public education because we were not born yesterday.
Yeah. I also think though that even if they do disagree with it, they're not in a place now where they can disagree out loud, or it costs them. It cost them credibility, cost them committees, it cost them possibly their job, too.
Ms. RDT on the live stream says, of course, the Republicans want to end public education. It's always been their goal, end public education and have only private religious schools paid by taxpayers. Absolutely. But they don't want their kids indoctrinated by public schools.
No.
Because that would be bad.
No.
Ugh.
That would be bad. Yeah, I think you make a really good point, Dan. I think, again, we're not hearing Republicans freaking out about this because they agree.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
This is what they want to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and I had one person in my replies who's a Republican who I go back and forth with from time to time saying, like, yo, you can't just say one crazy proposal is representative of the entire Republican Party. Isn't
really?
That what Republicans do on every issue with Democrats?
Absolutely.
Like, find one weird, crazy thing and then make that the symbol of the whole party.
Of the whole party, of course. Well,
and this is not just, like, one guy. It's the editor of, like, a publication they are constantly quoting and everything else. Like, you know, the person equated it to, like, Ryan Clancy, who is a part of the Democratic Socialist Caucus. Like, well, you don't say, you know, whatever Clancy proposes is indicative of the whole Democratic Party. They do that all the time.
Constantly.
I think that if you say something out loud and no one disagrees, then we have every right to say, well, then you all must agree because no one has disagreed with this point.
Right.
So it is part of your plan.
We're going to continue recombobulating with Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the vast statewide, countrywide. You can even pick us up around the globe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855 752 4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It's Friday, so we are joined by Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area. If you don't subscribe yet, you should.
You should.
Dan Schaefer is here to talk all things going on in Wisconsin and beyond. Let's talk about sports betting.
Sports betting.
I'm too cheap. I don't gamble. I work too hard for my money to see some to see it go away that quickly.
You're not headed straight to Pottawatomie after the show today?
I am not. In fact, one of the last few times I was in Vegas, there's that scene in Ghost where Whoopi Goldberg is handing over the check to the nuns for $2 million, and she doesn't want to give it to the nun. That's how I felt when the guy was taking my money and shoving it down the table. It's like, I want my $50 back. But there are lots of people who love to gamble.
People like gambling.
They love gambling. It's everywhere now.
Yeah. And I'm a big sports fan, and I'll play like fantasy sports and stuff like that, but I'm not really a gambler when it comes
to... Well, I mean, they're betting on everything.
Yeah. Yes. There's so many, like, okay, so this explosion of just, like, the online sports betting with, like, DraftKings and FanDuel and, like, all of these different ways that you can wager on every last thing that's happening, like, the way
Is he gonna sweat?
Pro sports have embraced it, and, you know, there are scandals in the NBA and Major League Baseball and all of that. And so, like, what's happening now in the Wisconsin State Legislature, the reason we're talking about this is there is a bill with bipartisan support that is moving very quickly through the Wisconsin State Legislature that would essentially legalize a version of sports betting and online sports betting in Wisconsin. So we can debate that on its merits, but, like, the proposal is based off something in Florida. They, like Wisconsin, have a number of, you know, kind of like tribal casinos and whatever it is.
Right.
And so, like, the model is called the hub and spoke model. So the hub being the tribal casino that would host, like, the data servers and, like, the actual websites and whatever else to have these kinds of sports betting. And then the spokes of this, per se, being each in person's individual phone
device
or whatever it might be to make these various wagers. So it is something that Florida adopted, I believe, within the last couple of years here. And they're taking essentially the same model to bring it to Wisconsin. And so, you know, I saw yesterday that the conservative law firm Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty put something out saying that this was unconstitutional and we're against it. I'm taking that with the entire salt shaker, as I do.
I think that's fair.
With everything I think that's from Wisconsin Institute and Law and Liberty.
Yeah.
But at the same time, this is moving very quickly, and I do wonder if people think this is ultimately the right decision for Wisconsin.
855-752-4842. Do you do sports betting? Should we have more of it? How much money have you lost? Oh, I'm sorry. That's just my question. 855-752-4842.
The question I have, though, I feel like betting in this country is the worst kept secret, because if I live in Wisconsin right now, which I do, I can start betting on things right now, correct? I can open up my phone and go on a FanDuel or...
You cannot.
Oh, I cannot?
Yeah.
See, I didn't know that.
Here's an example. So, like I said, I play fantasy sports.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, if I'm opening up my fantasy app to set my lineup for the day, and I'm in Wisconsin, it has, you know, all the normal things. If I go to Illinois, it shows up all the different bets I can make on individual players within that same app and stuff like that. And that's, we don't have that in Wisconsin.
My second question then would be: is that if this goes through and it becomes legal as a wheel or the wheel and
hub
spoke,
and spoke
hub,
yeah.
hub and spoke. Sounds like a bar I'll never go to. What are the tax ramifications, any sort of incentive for Wisconsin as a state? What do we get based on this law?
What do we get out of it?
What do we get out of it? Yeah. I mean, we're not going to legalize weed anytime soon. So
where's our quid pro quo?
Yeah.
What do we get?
Yeah, I think it is. I think there is some way that this will, you know, generate some sort of revenue for tax revenue for the state of Wisconsin. You know, I think it recognizes that there are hundreds of million dollars that The bipartisan mix of legislators who are putting this forward, and I'm quoting from the Wisconsin Examiner piece here, say that hundreds of millions of dollars in unregulated online sports bets are already being made in Wisconsin, so that legalizing the practice will kill the black market while providing tax revenue and certain consumer protections.
So we can do this with gambling, but not with weed. Just so I understand that. Gambling is bad. There are people who do bad things with gambling. Mm-hmm. This has bad ramifications for some people. Mm-hmm. But because it's going to go on anyway, we should legalize it. Is that, am I following that logic correctly?
You're following the logic correctly.
Because I'm not very smart.
Are you listening, Mr. Pivovarchuk?
Speak slowly.
Seems like an argument you've been using lately regarding weed. But.
Sue from Franklin texting in. Yeah, they'll never tell you how much they lose, only how much they win.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why at this point, I mean, ESPN has their own gambling site. Everything's sponsored by DraftKings and FanDuel. Just make it legal. It's already legal in the wink nod sense. Just make it legal. Why not?
Well, and Governor Evers took steps a few years ago to basically you can bet on sports, but you have to be physically at the casino. So like if I go to Pottawatomie,
so you can't do it over
your
phone.
If I leave the show today and drive to Pottawatomie, I can place a bet on the Packers for the weekend. And then go back to Pottawatomie to collect when the Packers blow it. But
Dan, I heard they had a really good chance of winning this weekend. They don't. They tied the Cowboys. Again, when you're creating all of these loopholes or these little workarounds, then is it to make yourself feel better? Well, he's not gambling at home, guys. He had to go to the casino to do it. So we're good there. This is just ridiculous.
I guess bookies are celebrating all over the place. I'm not sure who gets the big win out of this.
The companies do.
The corporations.
News. I'm so shocked. News is coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air across the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.